And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The Vault of Startling Monster Horror Tales of Terror!
Hello, banana suckers! Well, your old buddy the Chris Keeper just got word that we're gonna try for another monkey movie. And just to be perfectly frank, the last time they said we had a monkey movie, it was just a mechanical wind-up monkey, so I was a little disappointed. Oh! Okay. So, it's about a real chimp. Okay, good. So, it's probably a CGI chimp. Okay, practical effects. And a guy in a suit. Okay, all right. I like that. Okay. Well, we got a monkey movie with real effects and a guy in a suit. All great things. But, you know, these days, they want to make the money, so it's probably PG-13. Rated R. Oh, okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Oh, the R stands for rabies. It's a rabid monkey. Alright, now we're getting somewhere. This sounds like a real monkey movie. You know, it would just be perfect if he could talk. Oh dear God. He's got a little iPad with word buttons on it. Oh, the old Chris Keeper. He may have re-died and gone to heaven, I guess. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for a genuine, face-erasing, jaw-dropping monkey movie!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Vault of Starling Monster Horror Tales of Terror. I am one of your hosts, Jason Giaconetti, but I am not alone. I am joined by my brother, Mr. Luke Giaconetti.
Send us the Addy, baddies!
Oh, jeez.
And of course, thank God for stupid plain boys. That's one of my...
And good, that voice you heard there is Two True Freaks OG himself, Chris Honeywell.
I brought this teddy for someone, but they probably won't want it.
My line was, who the fuck has a pet chimp?
The reason I chose the one I did is because when I was watching this, that sounded exactly like something my younger daughter would say. Because, so in her Gmail for school, right, her Gmail account, it's not a Gmail account, it's her school email account that goes through Gmail. So she has her address book, and in her address book, my work email is the Batty Daddy. So every time she sends me an email, it comes up to, it says the, you know, from, you know, her email address to the Batty Daddy, and then has my email address in parentheses. So it's like
the Batty Daddy. Oh boy. That seems weird because it's through school. So it wouldn't normally school tries to like.
I don't know.
Her to name it. I'm saying usually it tries to force through whatever your actual name is.
Because and my backup line was "Whoa, Donkey Kong!" So it's like the same. Yeah. I had the same guy for both lines. So
yeah. So if you don't recognize what we're talking about, then you might not have seen this 2026 movie, Primate, which got a ton of buzz to start the year, mainly because January is. A tough time because they dump movies in January. They back in the day, you dump movies in January and February that you thought, like, we got to get it out because we have to, but no one's going to go see it. And so they would it became a thing where you would dump R-rated movies that you thought might make a little bit of money, but not really are like your big, you know, tentpole movies of the year. They were always dumped in January and February. And then a little movie called 300 came out and kind of blew that out of the water, because 300 just like was R-rated and was dumped in like February and absolutely annihilated things. And then the Woody call started happening, where you know, your summer blockbusters now started coming out, not just in the summer, but now in June and then in May, and then kind of dipping back into like the, you know, early May, late April. So, because then every weekend you have a bigger movie. But the R-rated movies have a very hard time competing with the PG-13 popcorn movies. Like now we have, it's not unheard of, but at the time, a comic book movie would not be a major film. But like now we get, you know, our Marvel movies, our, you know, our other tentpole, you know, like movies that come out, you know, in that span of blockbusters, right? And then you get the end of the summer dump, the August dump, because that's when, you know, things start winding down, leading into your horror movies right around Halloween. And then the next batch of like your big movies are Thanksgiving and then Christmas. And then you kind of the same cycle. Well, Primate was one of the movies that had a ton of buzz on it from its time through all the film fests, because it was finished in 2025, released in 2026, but it had a lot of play at, as like, you know, the midnight movies and the horror stuff that plays at those certain types of festivals. And it had a lot of buzz around it because a lot of people had said, this is so different than the stuff we were getting. And people at first didn't tell you why it was different. And I was like, it's a movie about a killer monkey. How different could this be? I've seen Shockma. I've seen Monkey Shines. I've seen Primal Rage. And the difference obviously being is that physical effects were used here instead of all CGI. And the movies I just named all had actual monkeys in them, or baboons, yeah, technically, right? Kind of thing, because it was the 80s. Although Monkey Shines does have a real monkey, but there are animatronic monkeys in that movie too, because it's got to do crazy shit. But that's the big thing about this movie, is that there's physical effects in the scenes, and it changes the feeling of this movie 100%. You know,
100%. Like, I mean, first off, just for people listening, we're going to spoil the hell out of this movie. Shit, yeah. So, like, yeah, if you're planning on seeing it, don't listen, because it's fun to experience and not knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
That being said, it's just like, I mean, this movie does not reinvent the wheel. It doesn't do anything, you know, major. What it does is it has a good script, a tight ass script. Characters that you care about. It has a little bit, like the music sounds like John Carpenter scored it. I haven't looked at who did the music, but it's very close to like John Carpenter movie. It's sort of a throwback to that, but it's also like really hues to, you know, it's not 100% like documentary style realistic, but it doesn't go over the top in the way like a movie like this actually would. It has a few of the, you know, it has almost all of the tropes of anything like this, but they keep it really grounded in reality. You know, none of the characters are really over the top. Which actually, I could have used a more. I could have used about five or six more plane boys, because by the time the plane boys showed up, I have a note. It just says, "Oh, thank God for plane boys," because I love monkey movies. I want to root for the monkey. I want to root for the monkey. I want to see the monkey. I want a cast full of monkey meat for that movie. And this movie does not get, I'm scared of the monkey in this one.
Yeah.
I am rooting for the characters most of the time, and like genuinely concerned. I winced a bunch of times in this movie. And one of my big winces was stepping on glass, which is a surefire wince. That's one of the only like things that I think was like probably CGI in the movie. Like,
well, it's either CGI or stuff. I was to say it's either CGI or it's some really nice frosted sugar, right? I mean, the
yes,
the thing about this film for me is. So, for our modern, air quotes up to the mic, movies that we've been watching for the last little bit here, they've been hit or miss for me, and I've been, I think, completely honest with the ones that I haven't liked. But I watched this film, and all I could think was, is, you know, we're told repeatedly, it's shoved down our throats, really, this idea of elevated horror. That horror's getting out of the ghetto.
Right.
That horror is a respectable genre. And all I could say is, fuck that. Because this film, to me, is if you're going to take an exploitation-style, cheapy B-picture horror film and reimagine that with the technology and the sensibilities that we have in 2025, 2026, that is the result. And as a result, it is infinitely more entertaining than these elevated horror types of garbage that play to critics and don't play to audiences. This film plays to the audience. Horror is a genre that is based on audience participation. The generic intent of horror is to elicit feelings of dread and fear in the audience, which this film succeeds at. Let me tell you, the entire time I was watching this, I've got my podcast notebook here. I'm going to hold it up to the microphone. Okay, if I flip back two pages, I have weapons. I'm going to take my ruler. I've got a ruler right here because I'm sitting at my desk. I took exactly 1 1/2 inch of notes, okay? For Primate, I took almost 5 1/2 inches of notes, okay? And it's not just because this movie is so deep that I need to examine it and I need to really think about it because it changed my life. What it means is that as a horror film, Primate is successful, whereas a film that made lots more money, gets lots more attention, wins awards it doesn't deserve, like Weapons, does not satisfy horror generic convention. And that's why I would prefer I would rather watch Primate twice than watch Weapons ever again. And it's that type of thing that we're going to... I'm sorry to talk over you, Chris, but that's the point we're at right now. That it's like, if you just give me something that's sincere and honest and doesn't think it's fucking brilliant, doesn't think it's reinventing the goddamn genre, then I'm more likely to be enthusiastic and supportive of it. And this film is 88 minutes, including the credits, for God's sake. And it is lean. It just moves. Okay? It just moves. It sets it up. It knocks them down. It does what it says on the tin. Okay? That's what I want in a horror film. And maybe that's just me, and I'm willing to accept that that is my personal bias. But when we live in a world where films like Weapons are winning fucking awards, we need a recenter. Right? We need to do some breathing exercises. You inhale blue and exhale orange and find your center because we have lost our fucking way. Okay? This movie made me happy to be a horror fan. Unlike shit like Weapons where it's like, God damn, this is the future of horror? Then check me out. Here are my chips. Cash me out, Garcon, because I'm done. So I was enthused as fuck to watch this. And just as a technical note,
I wrote down the director's name because I'm like, I'm watching this guy. No wonder this went. It makes total sense that this went on the festival circuit because this guy's got John Carpenter potential. You know, he's not thinking about impressing anybody. He's not thinking about being like over the top or anything. He's thinking of like how to make this thing tense and scary from beginning to end. And but also, like, you know, we're gonna throw in some set pieces.
Yep.
You know, it's got things that could be. It doesn't have a cheesy moment in it. It doesn't have a moment where I'm just like, oh, geez, you know. And it could have, because it's paying tribute. They do a whole Halloween sequence.
Yes.
Where they're in the closet and the monkeys, and when they come out of the closet and the music kicks in. It's like ding, 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 ding. It is Halloween music all the way. And I'm like, yes, they know what they know what they're doing. I mean, this I also have a note that just says Cujope. Is like you know, it's like sort of a like that would be the elevator pitch, is like it's Cujo and Nope with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of this and a little bit of that thrown in.
So if Chris, just one second, let me just throw this in here, because like you're talking about the director, obviously he wrote and directed this kind of thing, right? So he's got the writing credit on here as also and a director credit. He did it's a segment called Suicide Bid from VHS 99. I know some people hate the VHS movies. Some are hit and miss. They're very hit or miss for me, right?
It's like any anthology, right? Some segments are going to work better than others.
Right. But I'm saying is, if I'm remembering correctly, so I'm trying to think, like, this, I'm thinking that's one of the ones, because VHS 99, I enjoyed, right? Overall, all of the VHS movies I've enjoyed. Overall, some of the segments don't hit as well, but this guy, his critic ratings on movies are low, right? Because he also did Resident Evil Welcome to Rangoon City, which was not spectacular, but I don't really like Resident Evil, but he had done,
it's like a franchise movie that he was probably just,
but he did 47 Meters Down Uncaged, so the sequel to 47 Meters Down, and again, a shark movie, right? And he also did 47 Meters Down, right? And again, the problem with those movies, I like them, but a lot of people are like, they're just shark movies. Well, yeah,
because he's in this James Cameron Piranha 2 phase.
That's what happens. He has movies like that, but the movie that I liked of his that's older is from 2010. It's called F. It's literally about students who are a group of teachers defending themselves from a gang of murderous students who take over a school. Like, he's British. The guy's British. He's a British director. So, like, when I saw him, I'm like, that name sounds familiar. I went back and looking. He did Hellbreeder. He did, like, but I was like, that's the guy who did. Now, F is called something else. I mean, look, I forgot what it's called. It's got another name in America, because I didn't know. F is what it's originally called.
Let me find like Class of 1984 or something.
Yeah, but hang on one sec. Goddamn. Anyway, but the whole thing, I'll find it. But the whole thing was this guy's not some brand new director. He's been making movies for a number of years. And, you know, this was a case where, but none of his movies are they, what do you call it? Are you going like, okay, well, this guy's reinventing the wheel. He's just making solid movies that if you like horror movies and you like those kind of things, these tend to hit. Like I said, this reminded me a lot of Shockma, and this reminded me a lot of those, the killer monkey movies from the late 80s into the 90s, sir. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Tell you this, I would totally forgot. I'm still looking for the other name of the name. So, what the hell is it called here? Also known as, hang on. It was called F. What's the other name of it? It has another name. I cannot remember. Oh, it was called The Expelled as well. That's what I knew it as F, but there was another name to it, but I didn't remember what it was. But yeah, like I said, and again, the 47 Meters Down movies, if you like shark movies, they're good. If you are not comfortable with someone being stuck in a cage underwater, it's not going to work for you, bro.
Right. Yeah. No, this guy is, definitely knows how to play on fears.
Yeah, it's all just how much fear can we put in you? So, sorry. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, this was probably his first like project that he got to just sort of control himself, maybe, or just however it worked out. I am looking forward to. It's just like after I saw Long Legs, I'm like, ooh, I'm interested in what Osgood Perkins is gonna do. And you know, you never know. They could, like, a guy like Osgood Perkins could be like M. Night Shyamalan, and be really good for a while, and then run out of gas and just be like, kind of inconsistently quirky, okay to horrible sometimes. But guys like this, guys like this, this guy, you could tell he's just got a solid, he understands exactly every aspect of what's happening in this movie. And, you know, usually people talk about that when, like, the new Dune, you know, there's a new Dune movie coming out, you know, and Villeneuve has, you know, has complete cinematic control. And they, you know, they talk about, like, but this guy, I respect these guys. Like, I love, like, Stanley Kubrick and people, you know, the auteur filmmakers. But these guys, it's like John Carpenter. They love movies. They understand movies. And they've chosen to love horror movies, and they just make them as, I hate to say a real movie, but like you would go about like making a drama. You know, you want to make sure you have a good cast. You want to make the dialogue realistic. You want to like weave in all the interpersonal things, you know, smoothly, so it's not like awkward, you know, and, you know, tell the story and then have the story play out in a way that carries you through it and stuff. And it's so rare. You, like with these new horror films, you'll the director will have one thing down, you know, they'll have like, okay, they got a lot of energy to it and stuff. But this like just shows, and it's not like the new Jaws or anything like that, but it's just so competently and well done. I never once looked down to see how much more time was left in it. I was white knuckling it through several scenes, which I never just like wince when it like character dies. Usually in a monkey movie, I'm like, get him. These ones, I'm just like, ooh, ah, like the cat's jumping out of my lap because I'm like tensing up and wincing in the chair at scenes. And it's a rare thing, and I loved it. I would have loved this. This must have been great in a movie theater. I wish I would have seen this in a movie theater, to tell the truth.
So, you know, the thing is too, is that there's no one in this movie, you know, there's nobody. So, I mean, and again, I'm not saying that to be mean, that they're nobodies, but they're not, there's no name.
It's great.
Yeah, but that's what makes it, I think, more real. Like there is no like, you know, oh, I know that guy. Like, I mean, the one who played Hannah, that her name is Jess Alexander. She was what TV show? She was in the new Little Mermaid. She's not obviously Little Mermaid, but she's not. But like, if you look at her stuff, she's on The Beauty, which is the show on FX. Like, it's not super deep credits here. These are not credits that are going to blow you away. And the lead, her name is Johnny Sequoia, who plays Lucy. You know, like, what is she? She was on the Dexter New Blood. She probably was like an episode of that, and she was in Believe. Like, these are not major actors, you know, where they're commanding, you know, like major roles. They're just young actors and actresses who are looking to put out their, you know, something on film, get themselves noticed, get the whatever. And the crazy part is, and this is, you were getting at, Chris, when you look at the you know, you look at the monkey here, you can tell that it is not CG immediately because it has mass and weight and whatever, right?
Yep.
But you can also tell that it is not a real monkey. I don't know if you guys remember Chacma. That's with the baboon.
I've never seen it.
But you know what I'm talking about. The cover's got the baboon on it. Like, but that's a real baboon. Like, that is a real fucking baboon, right?
Yeah.
You know that this is not a real monkey. This is someone in a suit, or like it might be animatronic, or shooting points or whatever. But like, it's clearly not going to be. It's clearly not a real monkey. But by the same token, back in the day when you would have like you know, the gorilla at large and the Bowery Boys meet the gorilla and all that was a guy in a suit, and we knew it, but we accepted it because that's what it was, right? And I think part of the what you get here, what makes this you know, because we're willing to accept the you know, the basically the guy in the suit idea, right? We're willing to accept there's a guy in a suit. It doesn't take away from what's happening. and the scenes where like because it is obsessed with putting its fingers in your mouth and ripping your jaw off. That is like its go-to move, right? And but the thing is, it's like every time he's like attacking them or doing, it's not, you know, you're not like, oh, how could that happen? Okay, well, but like it's a monkey, like so the monkey's able to climb things and he's super strong and he's whatever, and you don't, you know, think about those kind of parts of it. You know, it's not like it doesn't ring as untrue. You know, so, but the other thing I could say is for people who maybe are not as well versed in the 80s, you know, the physical, like, you know, in 70s and 80s where you had like real stuff on the screen, right? Real, you know, guy in a suit, animatronics, you know, actor kind of thing, who are really much more about the CG, it might be a little off-putting to them because it looks, your eye will not read it as being CG. Your eye reads it as real, which might cause some people to be like, well, wait, why does this feel like this and whatever, you know? But be that as it may, it's definitely, there's several scenes where you're just like, okay, if this was CG, this would look stupid. Like, this would be too smooth. This would be too whatever. Right. It'd be too polished. Like, it literally needs to
be. No matter
be.
How good motion capture or whatever,
yep.
Your brain always knows that it's not real. Yep. So you're watching it all the time, and whether you're you know, taking it all in and being like, this is amazing looking, your brain is going like, yeah, it's all just a cartoon, you know? It just... We're not at that point yet, you know. Yeah. If we're ever gonna get there, and I for one hope that people see this and I imagine at this point, you know, CGI, they're like, oh, it's a cheaper way of doing. I don't know if CGI is cheaper. I would think it would actually be more expensive to do this movie all with the chimp all CGI'd and have to figure out all the stuff, whereas they had an actual guy in a chimp suit and a puppet and stuff like that, where you build the suit, you build the puppet, and then you just go through the movie. You set up the shots. The shots are done. You know?
Right.
The monkey is on the screen doing the stuff. It's probably cheaper.
And it's also from a not even a technical standpoint, but just a shooting standpoint, right? Now you have something tactile for your human cast to interact with, right? You're not acting against tennis balls on sticks, you know?
Yes.
So it's something that, okay, that, you know, again, but I like this film went ahead and credited the actor who played Ben right there in the credits.
Yep.
So it's like they're not even hiding it.
Ben... guy's name.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's like, no.
Well, he deserves credit because he's great. He has the mannerisms in the way, and then he had to figure out how a rabid chimp would act.
For the purposes of just making sure that. I'm assuming he's retired now, but shout out to my anthropology professor at Clemson University, Dr. Kogeshall, who was awesome. I took Anthro 201 as a freshman. He was one of my favorite professors I ever had at Clemson. He always said, erase forever from your minds this idea that, and he said it with that tone too. But Dr. Kogeshall would not be happy with you, Chris, referring to Ben as a monkey, because he is a chimp, which makes him an ape. Right, so this is.
I know, and it's
Two True Freaks, and we do love our monkey movies, but technically this is an ape movie, right?
Yep.
Charlton Heston could a planet where apes evolved from men, you know, that sort of thing. But
well, you know, all the in high school, you always had the nerd kids going, "We're all apes. We're actually great apes," and blah blah blah. I'd rather take that one step further and be like, "We're all monkeys."
Well, let's keep it at that.
We're all monkeys.
You know, the song said that we looked like a monkey and smelled like one too. But the, you know, we're not apes.
Yes.
We're primates. We have opposable thumbs, which separates us from the apes, right? Though you really want to screw with somebody, talk about the difference between a lesser ape and a greater ape, right? Like a mandrill or a gibbon, right? Versus a chimpanzee or a gorilla or an orangutan,
right?
right? I remember, so the just to aside into anthropology 201 for a second here, one of the traits of lesser apes that is that they are very good at brachiation, okay? Brachiation is, like, if you go to the zoo and you see, the monkeys will brachiate also, but if you see the chimps swinging around their enclosure, like going from branch to branch with their arms, right? That is called brachiation. Mm-hmm. That's the name of that movement. And I was on a game once, and I was writing a profile for, this was a Mega Man X game. And so one of the original bosses in Mega Man X is Spark Mandrill, who is, as his name would suggest, a mandrill. And he, in fact, does brachiate about his stage in the Super Nintendo game Mega Man X. And so I wrote that into his profile, that he was very proficient and fast at brachiating. And the admin comes on, he goes, "Luke, what the fuck is brachiating?" And I just thought it was funny because it's a fun word. And if you know what
Wouldn't
it means,
you like
you know
to know,
means,
buddy.
But, yeah. But it's like, he was just so angry. It's like, what the fuck does that mean?
Well, for,
just
for
right
the,
swinging.
For
just
the,
right swinging.
For the use of this movie, brachiating means skill in brachiating someone's jaw.
Yeah, brachiating
off
their face
on
open.
It.
As a secondary aside, because of the Donkey Kong quote, there in fact was an entire game made with Donkey Kong based on brachiation, which was called Donkey Kong King of Swing, where you were grabbing onto points.
Oh my
and
god, I remember
around.
That.
I remember that
yeah.
game.
Yeah. Yeah. So it should have been called Donkey Kong King of
Swing. I had
King
forgotten all about it, but yeah. You
know? Yeah.
It's not as clever as King of Swing, but anyway.
Yeah. So while we were just talking here, I just was going real quick. I just punched, because I was looking at 48. I was trying to remember if it was 47 meters down or the second one. 47 meters down, uncaged, is the one where they get stuck in the caves and they have the sharks that are blind because they live in the dark. I tell you. Like, I mean, like, that has stuck with me because it's so different than every other shark movie, right, kind of thing. And I was trying to think. I'm like, this is the guy who made these. I'm like, let me think, which one was that, right? And I'm like, there's a reason why I think he stays within his wheelhouse of what he's good at. Because he makes movies that horror fans can enjoy and are very much uncomfortable. Right.
Well, yeah, you hear that. You hear you describe that movie, and I'm thinking it's got sharks.
Oh my god!
It's got underwater.
Yeah.
And it's got underwater underground.
In a cave.
It's just a collection of phobias.
I'm telling you right
now,
it's like that.
Hold on. It's like that Far Side comic where it's the doctor's experimental treatment to cure somebody of darkness, snakes, and falling all at once, and he's put them in a box and turned the lights off and pushed it off, and there's snakes in the box.
Exactly.
What I'm just saying is it's one of those things that, like, that, I mean, think about how many Jaws ripoffs and shark movies have we seen, right? You know, kind of forget the Sharknados and stuff like that, the silly ones, but how many other ones like that have we seen? Hundreds of them, right? I mean, there's literally documentaries about shark exploitation, like the idea of, like, making shark movie, right? But, like, that stuck with me because it's like the first time I ever watched The Descent, right? The Descent and The Cave are both about, you know, creatures in caves and stuff, right? The Descent, like, is claustrophobic and, like, I mean, when we're sitting, John and I are watching here in the middle of the summer, John's like, "Dude, can we open the door or something? Like, I need air." Like, he was going to start hyperventilating because it's too close. When I remember watching the 47 meters uncaged, it's literally like, okay, so now we're stuck underwater. Now we're stuck in a cave. Now there are sharks. Like,
yes.
And again, it's you know, your mind's like, okay, this is impossible. This isn't, it's not going to happen. But we're watching a movie, right?
Yeah.
Get up.
It's happening.
It's happening here. We're good. It's just like in primate here, right? I don't have a monkey or an ape or an anything at the house, you know, kind of thing, right? So the chances that I have my pet monkey go crazy and kill me, pretty low. I'm just saying, not zero, because it's never zero, but it is pretty low, right?
Never.
So the idea is that, like, you're taking a situation that, let's be honest, most people are never going to be in this situation, but you're making him you care about. Now, as you said, there's the plain boys who you're just like, what a bunch of fucking morons they are. But even
I wanted
girls,
more of those. I wanted some people that I wanted that monkey to kill. Right? And then I felt bad for the Plain Boys when the monkey killed them. So they even made me feel bad for the Plain Boys.
Feel bad for the Plain Boys because they got well. The
one guy got to see his jaw ripped off, and then the monkey just sort of like absentmindedly chewing on the bone as he laid there with his tongue flopping. I was watching it going, this is pretty bad natured. I like this.
So the thing is, because you start off on the plane with the girls and you're like, I don't know. Like, I mean, you're like, maybe, okay. And I mean, they definitely come across as being kind of like, you know,
standard.
Yeah, like,
standard movie.
Like anything. But then you actually start to like them and you're like, oh, I don't really want to like them. I want to see them all die. But then you, because I think what that, and that's what winds up happening. You start to connect with these people.
Yeah. So let me ask a question. Let me ask a question. Sure. Right from the scene on the plane. Did anyone else think Lucy and Kate were gay?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I totally thought. 100%. I thought she was keeping it on the down low that was her girlfriend, and because with her dad going like, now's your chance with this guy, but nope, they were just besties. But I definitely picked 100%. Up on that, I gotta think they meant for that to be an aspect of it.
Because I'll be honest, I would have been, first off, that would have been pretty unique, I thought, right? Because normally we get
besties don't usually have the two heart
necklaces, right?
You know,
what was the euphemism? The euphemism back in the '70s and eighties, right, was long time companion. Right?
Right. Yeah.
I guess now they're just BFFs.
Yeah.
BFF, right? BFF with benefit type of thing. But the thing, but you're right. They make us actually care about the characters. Even Hannah, who's the bitch girl, right? But she has her moments where she's actually on board and everything else. Heroic. What I thought was kind of crazy was, right? So Ben goes nuts, right? Then Aaron gets bit. So instead of it being just a false scare with the little sister, she is immediately bit and put in very bad danger, right?
Yep.
And then we turn around and kill Nick, right? Yeah. The guy normally goes down more in a heroic vein, whereas here he went down kind of like a chump. And it's like,
Yep.
Well. I mean, it was actually a great idea. I'm gonna knock him off the side.
We're all thinking the same thing. Just push him over the edge.
Yeah.
But again, chimpanzees can break it.
Like, wow. Yeah.
And his death is brutal and amazing, and that's the point where the movie establishes. Anybody can die at any time. The other time is where the bestie girl on the stairs gets her head bashed and anybody can go in this movie.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, the
and,
other,
and,
the
and
other,
they were,
se-
they
the
were
other...
setting it up.
Yeah. Go ahead.
They were setting it up where the main characters could have gone because there were more people coming. You know, it could be like, are we just going to worry about the dad? And an aside on the dad, I want to know if you guys thought the same thing as me. I didn't think about this till after I was done watching the movie, and we don't hear the dad speak except for making a few like bop 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 noises that deaf people make. But I just through the whole movie I'm like, that if that dad was talking, he would have a French accent.
Yeah.
That dad is French.
He looks French. He does.
He just looks French, to bottom. Yeah. Everything about him is French. somewhere in that general vicinity.
Yeah, I mean, that scene where he rolled the really thin cigarette and drank the red wine and wore that PSG shirt. You know, just kind of all of the pattern, right? So.
Yeah. But he never spoke a word. But his whole performance had a French accent to it. Yeah. It was amazing. Immediately I was like, I love seeing deaf people in movies because I went to college at a school with a lot of deaf people, so I was always interacting with deaf people, and. The interactions with him were very much, you know, very realistic. But I was just thinking to myself, all right, there's a reason he's deaf.
Well, because he is deaf in real life. He's the guy from Coda. like the one that won the Academy Award. That's him.
Yeah, but and I was but like, they're but they're going to use it though,
for that.
They're not going to have him just be deaf in this movie and not. I mean, that would have been cool if he was just deaf and it didn't. But I'm like, and you know, the reason, quote unquote, reason was to have that one great scene where he doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And he's just stumbling through the house like it's a little messy. And he's just like, oh, they're partying. And he's just walking past like all the carnage and missing it. And then there's a whole, you know, drama happening behind him that he's unaware of, where they're luring the monkey away from him and all that. And I'm like, this is why he was deaf, so we could have this. This scene here, you know, or they were like, yeah, we're gonna use it here, and it was to great effect, and I'm very glad that Dad survived too. I like Dad.
Yeah.
So
what I'm saying is, like, he won the SAG Award, and he won, I think, Coda definitely won the Academy Award. But I'm
so
saying
he's the big name.
He's
in this
the big
movie,
name
then.
In this movie, and he's in the movie very little. But
yeah.
I think the thing is, but to most Americans, they only know him from when he was on stage and he was signing. That's the only thing they ever because. And let's be honest, most
is
people
the actor
never,
French.
He might be. Let me see. He might be from France.
I'm obsessed.
Troy Kotsur.
That sounds Frenchy.
Hi, I'm Troy Kotsur.
He was born and raised in
some films as Primate and Coda.
Yeah.
Hello.
He's born and raised in Mesa, Arizona. Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
So, but the thing is that, you know, here's
Arizona
somebody
guys,
who.
Huh?
Yeah. He was the. Okay. He's the second actor ever to receive an Academy Award for acting, first, who was deaf, the first being Marley Matlin, who
Marlon
won for.
Matlin.
Yeah, yeah, right. But we get the first male actor, it was him. But the whole thing is like, you know. That's the if that's your big get, you know, because everyone else is not people you know, and most of the time people, he's not an everyday, like someone you would know from lots of movies because he's just not been in a lot of movies, but you would definitely kind of recognize his face. But I think that gives it's
you
that
mean
level
definitely.
Oh my god. Anyway, so it's so punny around here. But the thing is like, you know, it's his. You know, sometimes you need that person in the movie who is, you know, oh, I know that guy. Oh, that guy looks familiar. So it gives you that sense of familiarity to what's happening. But it's not like, oh, that's Brad Pitt. Oh, that's, you know, this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's the Dick Miller effect.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. Like although Dick Miller, people know who Dick Miller is. Right. Kind of thing. It's like, oh, I know that guy. Oh, I
know
that guy.
Cool people
know
who Dick Miller is.
Well. They should know. I mean, if you've seen any of the either Gremlin movies,
no, cool,
both of those.
Okay, I should say cool people go, there's Dick Miller,
yeah.
And everybody else goes, I know that guy. He's in everything.
Well, there's a documentary called I Know That Guy, and it's basically, and Dick Miller's in it a bunch, but it's a bunch of guys. You're like, wait, I know that. I know, and it's all these actors who are they play the you know they play the scientist, they
Richard.
Play the whatever they play, and you're just like, man, those guys are what hold the movie together. And the nice part is here is the dad's role here is to set this up and he goes away. So you don't even have the adult there. Not that these are not young adults because these aren't small children, but the idea that like he can, you know, and it wasn't even his monkey. It's the mom who's dead, you know, kind of thing. So, but you know,
I mean, he's got the college kids in a big, nice house in Hawaii. Recipe for disaster.
All I know is that, because again, I watched this by myself, so the girls weren't here. But I can tell, I couldn't even share with anybody. Like, I was watching this and I was like, man, look at that fucking house. Yeah. Oh my god, look at this pool. Like I'm looking at this going.
That house is amazing.
I'm like amazing. This might be again, it's all a set and whatever kind of thing what might be whatever, but I was like, man, I tell you, you know, it's just something, but you know.
But you know what all, though? The
that house though,
as
plus
cool,
in
as,
Hawaii.
Yeah. As awesome as that house is though, guy didn't lose his sense of fashion because he had Jay, did you notice he had Dad's lamp?
Yes. Yes, 100%.
the silver dome lamp with the curved arm that everybody had in the 70s. Yes. My dad has that lamp and has as long as I can remember.
He does. Yes, he does. Yep. So it's just one of those things, though. Like, you know, I mean, I think the movie works on all the levels it's supposed to. At the end of the day, it's not going to change your life, you know, kind of thing. I have not seen too many 2026 releases yet because it's kind of early in the year. I'm kind of catching up on the end of 2025, you know, kind of thing, right? So I haven't seen a lot of 2026 releases yet, but so far this is probably the best I'm trying to think. What else did I see from 2026? I can't even remember right now. But, like, the thing is, like, this is definitely will probably be among one of my favorite movies of the year, even if it's not the deepest story, whatever, because it's just a fun horror movie. It's just kind of like, yeah, this is good, you know, kind of thing. I told Dad to watch it. I was over at Mom and Dad's this morning, and I said, Dad, you can watch Primate. I said, Mom, you're going to hate it. I said, but that's how Mom is. You know, Mom doesn't like a lot of things. I was like, Dad, you'll enjoy it. I said, it's about a killer monkey. He's like, all right. So I'm sure Dad will watch it, and he'll probably, you know, say, oh, that was pretty good. Because there's not super deep story to follow, too. It's hard for Dad to follow story right now. So it's not super, super deep. But it's enough where there's the monkeys killing people, and there's stuff happening. So you can kind of stay involved. It's like when it gets too talky sometimes, you know, you lose things. Yeah. But.
This movie does not have a problem with that at all. It has a nice slow part in slower part in the beginning, but it just once the monkey starts frothing at the mouth, it's over. It's just constantly going, and it does that thing where you're watching the movie. And you're going, okay, what would I do? Would I do?
Right.
Or, you know, what would be the thing that you should do here? And the characters are doing the same thing. They're not just stumbling and screaming and freaking out. They are adapting to the situation as well as somebody who's, you know, 20 years old and, you know, goofing around in their parents' house and didn't know what was going on. But, once you reach that point where, you know, the movie isn't looking down at the audience or the characters, it's magical. It's so funny because everything that this movie does is so simple of a concept.
Yep.
And, you know, but it succeeds in pulling it off. But it's just like, it seems to me like so few movies seem to even try to pull it off. Mm-hmm. And the ones... with like, and like I'll say this, even the movies like Weapons was like well directed, well written, and stuff like that. But it's almost like the director doesn't want to, you know, make it horrific. You know, they're like more interested in putting some flair into it or something different or something unexpected or stuff like that, which is all good stuff. But when you're focused on that and don't make it scary, it takes a level, you know, it strips the reason of going to a horror movie.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully this movie will do well enough that people will take a cue from it. I mean, this is sort of how I felt when Blumhouse, for, you know, like the first couple Blumhouse movies came in. And I remember walking out of was The Purge a Blumhouse movie? Yeah, yep. Walking out of The Purge and going, you know, that wasn't the greatest movie I ever saw, but it was very entertaining and it was obviously low budget and, you know, it was a good idea and, you know, let's hope that this is let's hope this is coming back, you know, quality, low budget filmmaking. And it sort of did for a while, but then like it's been flagging, it's been elevating.
Yep,
it's been slowly elevating to where like, you know, maybe everybody's aspiring for A24 and stuff, not to, you know, badmouth A24,
but the thing is though, but like, and so you were saying this, right? Movie was made for about $21 million, right? okay, we see the $21 million on the screen. I'm not thinking like, where'd this money go, right?
Yeah.
It grossed out around 41.5, so it's almost double
okay,
this money.
Okay, good.
That's a good return on investment.
On a movie like this, yeah.
Exactly, because this wasn't a $200,000 movie, so you don't have to make $400,000. If it's $20 million, you make 40. That's enough to make the next movie. You know what I'm saying? The difference is,
yeah, and this movie will keep making money. You know, over time, it'll probably pick up some status, and people figure it out or something, or maybe one of his movies down the line will do really well. And
well, the
people
thing
will come
too
back
is
to
that
this
right
one,
now
so.
this is only available for purchase. You can stream it, but you got to pay for it. It hasn't hit Prime Video yet. It hasn't hit Shudder. It hasn't hit those places yet. Once it does, a lot more people who kind of wait on things, we're going to start seeing it, and it'll help its cult status. I look at it this way is. And as somebody who enjoys a good number of A24 movies, right? And Neon, I like the, because Neon's put out, I cannot think. Did Neon put out Long Legs? But I thought Neon put out Immaculate and stuff like those kind of companies, they're purposely trying to find those types of movies, right? The ones that are, we call them elevated, we call them like they're just smart, they're just whatever, right? But they're also trying to push the envelope sometimes on the movie that is not going to be a mainstream release. The difference being is, I think here we have with Primate is that, yes, this is not for everybody. It's very violent at times, which puts some people off it, right? R ratings also puts people off. I don't know why, but they do, right? The whole thing was, this is much more in the world of, the way I felt about movies in the 80s, and especially the late 80s. Like, this just fun. It's just what I want to do. It's just a way to kind of like, you know, in kind, you know, not to say turn your brain off, but I don't have to sit here and try to wonder who the killer is, right? Kind of thing. Like, what's their motivation? He's been bit. He's got rabies. That's it. Like, he wants to kill. Yes.
And he's a chimp, so he's super strong. And super smart.
Yeah.
So you see his board that he was communicating on, and you're like, this ape's got a lot of words, you know. This monkey's got a lot of words.
The other thing about it is, Jay, you said, you don't want to say you can turn your brain off, you don't have to think about it. But at the same time, it's also not trying to be deep. Mm-hmm. It's not in love with how clever it is. It's not who are the real monsters here. It's none of that bullshit. So it's
not dumb at all.
Yeah. but it also isn't pretentious. Right?
It's not pretentious and
thinking
it's more
important than it actually is, because I'm an auteur. I'm a filmmaker. I don't make trash. I don't make horror movies. I mean, you realize we've been having the same conversation, or at least I have, because I don't shut up. I've been having the exact same conversation since Hereditary, which, to me, Hereditary may be the worst film we've ever covered.
It opened the floodgates.
It opened the floodgates is absolutely right, because everybody saw, oh my God, the critics creamed their fucking pants over this shit movie. We could make a shit movie.
Yeah,
we could make a movie where nothing happens for 40 minutes.
You know what the really crazy part is? The really crazy part about this is, because I saw a thing the other day. Someone was talking about, sorry, not to get us off track. Someone was talking about, they were like, Hereditary, and they're talking about how good Hereditary is. And I was like, oh my God, they could not be more wrong, right? And because it was a couple different people talking. It was a documentary kind of thing, right? And they were like, you know, short stroking on Hereditary. And then the last person said, look, in Hereditary, Colette, I forgot her last name, right? She is, as an actress, is acting the shit out of her role.
But
I'm saying, but she, it wasn't her, she was not bad in that movie. Right, it wasn't her poor acting that caused that. Right,
he goes, the director.
Right, no, I know that. Right, but I'm saying is, he goes, but she was like a force, which is true. She really is the only reason why that movie's even. I made it through is because she's carrying us through that movie. And then when she's like she's slicing off her own neck, like there's a couple of like small, like we're talking like, you know, 30-second pieces that are like, oh, okay. But you can't watch a 2-hour movie for a grand total of less than a minute. But the whole idea was they were like, and this person was the only one who was not like, Hereditary is the best movie. They were like, she's amazing in it. When the end happens, you have already been on this roller. You felt her emotions. And I'm like, that probably is the best description of Hereditary, because the director fucked it up. Right, we got a whole bunch of shit. Yes. We got characters we don't care about. We got signposting, like all this stuff like that. Right, but she's carrying us through the movie. Her acting in there is the reason why you're even close to at the end going to be part of it. You know, not that you were like, oh my god, like Toni Collette, that's her name. God damn, I could not think of her first name.
Yeah,
right, Toni Collette. Well, like she's good in it. It wasn't enough to save us from the absolute horseshit that's around it.
Yeah.
Which
well,
is very
it's,
different.
It's one of those things where on paper, that yeah. movie, and even watching it on paper, that movie, I should have loved it. Mm-hmm. I love weird, arty movies. I like that sort of stuff. I love the set design on it, the cinematography was great. It had some good like atmosphere to yeah. it. The acting was all really good, but it is the farts of the director come up through the movie. And I yeah. think like the A24 and Hereditary sort of thing reflects, I think, directors who think I'm a better director than a horror director, but I want to make horror movies, but I do not want to get, you know, I don't want to be known as a horror director and be stuck only being able to make horror movies, you know, for my whole career. And it was successful with Ari Aster. Like he did yeah. another horror movie after it. And then he's yeah. done a couple weird, like comedy movies afterwards. But like, and I think they're just going by the standard, like Hollywood, like, oh, if you get stuck doing horror movies. And I think that works more. I think that was more in the old days, yeah. you know, 30 years and back,
right.
where actors and directors would get stuck in making only being able to make horror movies. But I get a feeling that the guy who directed Primate is fine with that.
Yeah.
If that's the case. Although I'm sure he could probably get himself, you know, a different kind of movie down the line if he makes enough money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they're afraid of being known as a horror director. That's why I love fucking, why can't I think of his name? Nosferatu.
Roger Eggers.
Yeah, Eggers doesn't Eggers. Care. He doesn't yeah. care. He's like, he well, can think of me as a horror director.
He's already finished Werewolf. He's like, I'm making a werewolf movie. He made a werewolf movie that's all like, I think it's in German, but it's like he doesn't give a shit. But the same
How
thing.
How the fuck does he do that? Like, and there's a new Dune movie coming out. How do he and Villeneuve put out these like movies that would have been like, like you would have looked at it and been like, oh, this is the movie that took Terry Gilliam 10 years
yeah.
to finish. You know, these guys pump out, for what they are, they pump out these incredibly like densely produced mm-hmm. movies of high quality, and they're coming out with them every year or two. It's yeah. amazing.
I'm not gonna complain. Yeah, it's one thing though, and this is what I think some people kind of not us, but I'm saying sometimes people who are so smart to this whole thing, right, what they don't get is that you know, we how to say this nicely. We look back on, and we talked about this before.
You don't have to say it nicely.
No, I'm trying to think how to say this right there. Like, we look back on the 80s as being this, like, oh my God, I love 80s movies, all this stuff. Like, because if you were the right age at that time, that's what you cut your teeth on. But I don't look back at, and again, there's a lot of movies from the 80s that I absolutely love as movies. but are they amazingly made films? Are they like, I love Friday the 13th movies. There's not a Friday the 13th movie and any of them that is even close to as well made as Halloween, right? Yes. It's just not. But I like Halloween, but do I love Friday the 13th movies? Yes. Friday the 13th movies are junk food. They're just the things I like. Like it's like Reese's Pieces. I could just eat them, you know, kind of thing. I love them, right?
And it's that's funny. I was just about to say, give me a bag of Reese's Pieces.
But that's
and
what I'm saying,
I'll
right?
Finish it.
You can have horror movies be like that, and the success you make, whether they are critically acclaimed or not, the success you have as them is going to be. I made this movie for $20 million, I returned 40. I make this movie for $30 million, I return 60. If you can do that consistently, you are going to have a job. This is why, we've talked about this. And it's going to sound weird, but the Hallmark Christmas movies, the Hallmark movies that are all cookie-cuttered out, they're all the same thing. It's, take something from column A, something from column B, something from column C, something from column D, slap it together, there you go. The lady is she works at an architecture plant, and the guy makes, little woodland creatures out of found dewdrops and whatever, bullshit, right? But those movies they hit every single time because they all have a certain thing to them. The sci-fi movies, the sci-fi originals, that the same directors who make those movies, they make the sci-fi originals also, the same people. Why? They go, here's a budget of whatever it is, here's 2 weeks, film it. And they get a movie every time, and the movie always feels like it's just, I don't want to say it's disposable, but it's just kind of comfort, right? This, and again, I've only watched Primate one time, and I told Dad to watch it, I think he would enjoy it. I think that if the next time I watch Primate, if I catch it, it's on or whatever, it's a movie I could just hop into now because I don't have to worry about what's all the thinking I got to do to get here, right? I know the setup. I understand what's happening. There's things that are going to stick with you besides the piece of glass in the foot. There's some of the deaths are going to stay with you, right? It's very much, I think the other side of the spectrum would be one of the movies I watched the other day is called We Bury the Dead with Daisy Riggs or whatever her name is. The one who played, she's in Star Wars. What's her name? You know what I'm talking about.
Daisy Ridley.
Thank you. Not Daisy Riggs. Daisy Ridley.
Right? I saw the trailer for that.
Yeah. It's not a horror movie, right? It's about a movie about loss. It's a movie about a woman who lost her husband, but really lost so much more than that. It's what it's about. Are there zombies? Fuck yeah. Are the zombies disgusting and disturbing? Yep. But is it about that? No. It's not that kind of movie. So I am probably not going to sit down and watch that movie again, at least not anytime soon, because it wasn't enjoyable. Not say it wasn't enjoyable. I liked, she's really good in it. And there's some really cool, like, special effects and whatever. But the movie itself, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I want to see a zombie movie. Like, I sat down thinking I'm going to see a zombie movie. And I didn't get that. I could have very easily just put on Train to Busan and loved it.
Right.
Or Peninsula and loved it. You know, Peninsula is an action movie on top of being a zombie movie. But that's the difference, right? We covered The Dead and The Dead 2. Those are two movies that a lot of people have never seen. But they're such good movies that are about zombies and everything else, right? But, like, you care about the fucking characters. You care about them, right? But without having to be over the top about every single fucking thing in their life. Here,
yeah, no, that's like Primate.
Yeah,
like
that's
the
what I'm
dead
saying.
Movies approached it as like, okay, this is how it would really go down.
Yeah.
We're not going to take this into over the top, and it ends up being scarier for that.
Yeah.
And you know,
because
and we're going to give
you get something that's more real in on that again. And again, the chance that you're going to get killed by your pet monkey, low. But again,
but
what I'm saying
zero.
Is,
but never zero.
Never zero. It's never zero.
Speaking of zombies, couldn't this have been a zombie movie? They did the whole thing of like the test came back. It's a rabid mongoose, and the father goes, "There's
no
rabies
in." Well, there are. That's the thing is, there
and,
are no.
And then it just it's dropped.
Yeah.
That whole thing. I was like, this could lead somewhere. It led nowhere. But that could have led to the zombie movie
yeah.
version of this where, you know, because I was thinking, like, at the end of it, I was like, well, they're not going for a franchise. That's for sure. No.
Well, but I think that's
they could if they take the zombie trail and follow the rabid mongoose and then have some sort of outbreak of rabies in Hawaii. But then I thought about it and I'm like, there aren't any really deadly free roaming mammals in Hawaii. It's just birds.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing though too, how many movies do we literally, they are just desperate to make sure they make a franchise out of. Even movies that have no
especially
franchise,
horror movies.
Right. But movies that shouldn't be a franchise. If we get a Primate 2, I can't imagine we're going to get a Primate 2 unless it's about a whole different... No. Unless it's just like not necessarily about, like, the same monkey, but, like, the
any
idea
any of the
that,
characters or anything, it's just another...
It's just another thing about, mad. about the like you said, like, the rabies that are now there infecting. It's going to be, you know what it'd be?
A whole lab wild, of
no,
primates.
No, it'd be Wild Beast. Remember Wild Beast? Luke,
the
you remember
beast.
Wild Beast?
Yeah.
Yeah, the cheetah is chasing the woman in the sports car. She's got a convertible, and she's getting chased by a cheetah. It's a real fucking cheetah running down a real street in Germany. Fucking crazy movie. Anyway, and the best is when the elephant's coming through and the bear. Oh, fucking crazy.
They're crushing
anyway,
the guy.
But that's
yeah.
what it could be. Yeah, but that's what it could be. It could be that where the they get infected, like the infection happens.
Wait,
at the
what
zoo.
Is this movie?
Wild Beast.
Wild Beast.
It's an old
Wild Beast. This yeah. sounds right up my alley.
I'm surprised you've never seen it, Chris. It is. It is.
I've always wanted to do a TV show called Get 'Em. That's just a collection of animals attacking people, yeah. and it's just, you know, it's like America's Funniest Home Videos, except it's just me with a microphone going, yeah. "Don't get near the panda." Don't get near the panda. Get him! Get him! Get him! Get him! Get him! Get him! Yeah, and that's it.
So, get her, mom.
But that's about the only way you make a sequel of this, and then it's not even about the you know
yeah.
the same thing. It's not even this. It's just the idea that like the island itself now has an infection, right?
Yes.
Which is what you're saying. The idea of being more of the idea of a zombie movie, but a movie can be standalone. Like,
yes.
I wish I was kidding. I know I've mentioned it before, but like, literally, Immaculate didn't need a fucking sequel. It didn't get a sequel. It's fucking brutal. The end of that movie, the last fucking scene of that movie is absolutely brutal, right? But that's the whole thing, is it doesn't need to always lead to a franchise, right?
Yeah.
You know,
no,
you can
a franchise
make a movie.
Can blunt and ruin an yeah. original movie oh, yeah. by just watering it down or, yep. you know, yep. being shitty and soiling the reputation, you know?
Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah, so if you want to see Primate, like I said, currently, as a recording of this, it's not out on... It's coming out, I want to say... Let me check the date. It's coming out on Blu-ray and DVD and all that stuff. The physical media, you know, the stuff that I and Luke and a number of... And Chris and all of us enjoy because, you know... That means we can actually own it.
We own it.
Yeah. So Primate comes out. It's looking like April 21st. That's what it's going to. So it's coming out upon us recording this. It's coming out soon upon after recording. It's so funny. I type in Primate into Amazon. And the second movie that comes up is Every Which Way But Loose.
I'm going to make love to a beautiful woman, but I'm not going to open my eyes the entire time.
I haven't watched those in a long yeah. time, and I have a feeling they're not going to hold up as much as
it
they as I love them at 8 years old.
Yeah. Your best bet's not to go back and visit certain movies again, is just to remember them as being what they were.
I remember loving Every Which Way But Loose, but like Any Which Way You Can was one of the first times as a little kid I realized sometimes there's I didn't know the term diminishing returns, but yeah. I was starting to learn it with Any Which Way You Can.
Yeah. So just saying it's you know, again, it's available to streaming. It's available, you know, it'll be available there. I'm not sure where it's going. I'm not sure if it's going to, you know, like, I'm not sure if Shudder's going to pick it up. I'm not sure if it's whatever. There's nothing firm up yet. Well, probably by the time this comes out, what I'm saying now might be, you know, old hat. You might be like, Jay, it's on Peacock or it's on, you know, Paramount Plus or whatever. the whole idea is that if you have a chance to check it out, it's worth checking out. I think yeah. This is something that you're not going to be bored. That's, I mean, how many times do I say that's treat. the worst sin you can be is boring. Don't be boring. So, you know,
it's a little horror treat for you.
And just throw this out there.
God knows you don't get them too much, you know, least new ones.
What was I watching? I was watching the other day. God damn, I can't remember. But someone said, he goes, you know what movie's crazy? Color Out of Space. And I was like, fuck yeah, it is, right?
Yeah. Because, that is a crazy movie. Yes, cause, you're right.
Because you're right. It's a crazy movie, right?
It's like, and this is a true going, statement. And, no lie detected.
Yeah, and so when we watched Color Out of Space, I said to Dad, watch this. I go, it's fucking nuts. And Dad watched. He goes, that was so good. It's absolutely insane, but it's not boring at all. But talk about like elevated horror, right? It's supposed to be like this, you know, it's all this idea like they're, you know, there's all these different heights to their what they're seeing and the whatever. But man, that's the thing. And they're supposed to be, I don't think they're making them. They're supposed to be two sequels to Color Out of Space. It's the next, the other two Lovecraft things, which will never happen. It'll never happen, right?
Yeah.
But the whole idea is that like there's a movie that, you know, a lot of people overlooked, but it was like, it's so crazy. It's out there. Yeah. I'm not saying
that, and that's the problem with that director is he ruins his career, but he doesn't do it with his movies.
Yeah, no.
He makes just great movies, and he ruins his career with his personal life, and it pisses me off. It's just like, dude, as soon as I found out they were planning, you know, two more movies along that line, I was just like, yes. Yeah.
But I think that's what we're saying, right, kind of thing, is that a movie like Color Out of Space, which a lot of people didn't see, but it's absolutely nuts, and it's crazy, and it's not for everyone. It's 100% not for everybody. It's brutal and like harsh and like and there are scenes in there that made me like it bothered me, like the kid and the mom, you know, kind of thing, like and all the alpacas together, right? Those are scenes that are like, okay, I don't get bothered by movies. I don't get upset. I might get upset with a movie, but not upset. You know what I'm saying?
Not upset with the content. Primate, upset with actually, perhaps what the film does.
Well, I mean,
This actually has a jump up a little. I'm like, oh, not jump in a bad way. I'm like, oh, that's pretty brutal. Oh, like literally when he's smashing her skulling with the rock on the stairs, I'm like, okay. Like I figured, she's going to grab him. She's going to wrestle with the monkey going down. Nope. She's going to
have a little tumble down the stairs. Yeah.
Her best friend is getting her skull smashed in and there's nothing she can do about it except take the blood to the face. I think that
Primate and Color Out of Space have something in common, whereas Primate looked at the idea of a monkey with rabies and said, let's really play this out like it would play out and like be like, which would be brutal because everybody knows monkey from Nope and from real life with people getting their faces ripped off, that a chimp can just destroy you. And when a chimp fights you, they destroy your body.
Yeah.
Let's explore that and realistically have that be the factor in the movie. Now, Color Out of Space is the same thing, but it's with like a crazed Lovecraftian, this is happening, you know, and the thing about Lovecraftian stuff is it has to go to the most disturbing places. And that's why most like quote unquote Lovecraft movies or Lovecraftian movies don't quite get there. They'll go to like a disturbing creature or something. This one goes into the concept of it, of like, you know, your wife and kid have just molded into this one mewling mass of pain. You know, it's dark, and it goes to the places it has to go to make that story to explore the scary things in it and without really, you know, worrying about it. And that's what I appreciate in my horror movies.
Yep. So, like I said, folks, well worth your time. Well worth it. To, you know, go check it out. you know, it definitely wears this R rating on its sleeve, which is great.
Yes.
You know, kind of thing. I like movies that are R and show that they're R, you know, not just they're R. Yes, because
and it's a rare thing these days.
It's hard to do.
It's
so.
It's a special thing nowadays where they're like, it's an R rated horror. And it's like, ooh, yum, yum. Or an R rated superhero movie. Oh, yum, yum, yum. Where it used to be just like, movies were R rated. They're just tons of R rated movies.
Just because they didn't, because they just did it. Yeah. So. Anyway.
Yeah, I like the acknowledgement that there's grown-ups out there that like to watch movies.
Yep, yep. Not everything's made for the same, you know, younger demographic. So, but yeah, well worth your time. Check it out if you haven't seen it. Like I said, it's going to be much more readily available by the middle to end of April. By the time you hear this thing, it'll probably be, you know, on whatever service it's going to be. This, I see, could definitely be something Shudder eventually picks up and they play, because Shudder likes these kind of films. You know, kind of thing. They want to get eyes on their channel. Yeah. And that's a good way to get eyes on it when you have a movie that had this kind of buzz. So anyway, hopefully this is a trend. We start getting, you know, not say a million of these kind of things, but like movies that are more in this vein, where they, you know, abandon the CGI and go with something more realistic, you know, where they kind of go that route and stuff, which is, you know, great. So
this is the scariest monkey movie I've seen yet. It shoots to the top of the list of just like, it doesn't shoot to the top of the list of my favorite monkey movies, but as a horror, like the only thing that competes with this is Nope. And as far as like making a monkey terrifying, and that's just an aspect of that movie.
Yeah. Right.
You know, but
I mean, that
but
was just
a,
that
as
one
a movie
scene.
That's making me scared of an ape.
Yeah. What I'm saying is in Nope, it's just that scene which is really disturbing.
Yeah.
But that movie's not about the chimpanzee going crazy. It's just a part of that movie, you know, kind of thing. But yeah. Anyway, check it out, folks. Well worth your time. You know. Enjoy yourself.
Hey, but you know, just you know. All I was going to say is if you show up at somebody's house and have got a pet chimp, you know, just think twice about sleeping in their bed, like Goldilocks syndrome, right?
So. If you know somebody with a pet chimp, show up at their house with this DVD and a basket full of monkeys and go, get Bucky the chimp. We're watching a movie.
Not a barrel of monkeys?
The barrel? That's the whole barrel. So...
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS. Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
I love you, Dr. Zaius.
Will you?